The International Committee of the Red Cross has voiced its concern over the increasingly high numbers of civilian casualties in Afghanistan. It said that life for ordinary Afghans has become untenable, with security seriously deteriorating due to a surge in Taliban attacks and accidental NATO strikes on civilians. Lydia O'Kane spoke to Jessica Berry, the ICRC spokesperson based in the Afghan capital, Kabul.
The ICRC seems to be very concerned about this situation for civilians, calling it untenable. We've seen that the security situation has deteriorated in the last while. Perhaps you could talk to us about how serious the situation is and how civilians are coping with this.
Yes, the situation is getting worse for civilians. It's never very good. And over the recent years, civilians have always really been caught in the middle of the fighting from all sides. What we are particularly concerned about now is that we see a trend where, for example, with suicide bombings, these seem to be happening also in very populated civilian areas where ordinary people are just going about their daily lives and they're caught in the wrong place at the wrong time. We also see, and this is again something which nobody would wish to happen, civilians getting caught up when there are military operations. Again, just being caught up in the wrong place at the wrong time. So from all sides, we see that the civilians are becoming more and more at risk.
Now, from a day-to-day perspective for civilians, I notice one of the things that's been pinpointed is the worsening security situation also means people don't have access to certain things, healthcare being one of those things.
That's exactly right. Just as there are direct victims in times of conflict, we see also that ordinary people are becoming more at risk for health. Again, because access can be difficult for people to get to health services. And so we would say these are indirect victims amongst the civilian population. I've been in Kandahar Hospital, the big regional hospital in the south, and there are really interesting trends here, some of them very worrying. Maybe just to take the idea of deliveries for a moment. Now, there are positive sides to this and negative sides. We have seen in recent months a huge leap in the number of women coming to the hospital to give birth. For example, a year ago in February, there were around 700 births. During the month of February, this year, there are over 1,000. This could have a positive reason that more people know about the services, that they feel safe. They say they feel safe when they come to the big hospital. But it can also mean that at the very local level, where a local health clinic might have been able to be the first stop for a woman who is going to give birth, maybe in some areas the hospitals or clinics are closed, or maybe there is fighting going on, there are checkpoints on the road. So there are a number of factors, but definitely in general for the civilian population, these what we call indirect victims of the conflict in terms of their health and access to health is also a big concern for us.
You must be hoping that the people are listening to, that the powers that be are listening to this, what the ICRC is saying, that it can't go on, that, you know, these are civilians and they must be protected.
Well, indeed, it's absolutely, if you look at it in terms of international humanitarian law, when different sides fight in a conflict, there are rules which say that civilians must be protected, they must not be put in harm's way. I think if you look at it again from the humanitarian perspective, it's equally important that all of the humanitarian workers and people providing assistance must also be able to do their work, to be able to have access to the areas where people are vulnerable. And for the ICRC, this is again a very important challenge for us at the moment. And it's something which we feel is very important to say. We don't wish and we don't intend to reduce what we do, because the people need support and vulnerable are out there. But what is a big challenge for us now is to adapt how we work so that we can still be as proactive as we have been, and in order to reach those who need us. But we have to be more working through our local partners, for example, or instead of going to talk to community leaders out in the villages, sometimes they will come to us, for example. and we can work with them at a more local level, close to home, close to where we are. Many, many, many ways that we need to adapt in order still to be able to provide the services that we have always provided.
Yes, you were talking about the challenge to remain fully operational despite the security conditions, because you're providing so much. I mean, there's healthcare, there's rehabilitation services, distributing food and seed. I see water and sanitation. There's so many things that that are going on. There's so many projects that you're involved in.
Yes, indeed. And I think the key to all of these things is helping people to be able to sustain their livelihoods and to still be able to have as much as possible a productive life. Just to give you an example, we have a program which is training para vets, local vets, so that they can provide veterinary services to animals. Now, if you think that for many, many, many people in this very rural population, their animals, if you like, are their investments, their bank. And if the animals die, they have nothing in which to be able to have a small income to sell animals and to get money for other things, or to be able to have the milk from the goats so that they can feed their children, for example. So animals are crucial in this society. And to be able to support para vets, to be able to work at the community level, this is, if you like, a sustainable livelihood. And these are the kind of things, as well as our very basic emergency services with medical care and in the hospitals, we want to try and encourage these sustainable livelihood projects as well.
Having people helping is one thing, but you also want people to be able to help themselves so that at the end of the day, they are sustainable.
Well, exactly right. Exactly right. And coming back right to the first question again, in terms of civilians at risk, there is always in conflict a very precarious situation for them. But the most important thing is people are resilient. They have to stay in their villages. It's their livelihood. And we have also a wish to be able to help them as much as possible to maintain their lives while they remain in their villages.